With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Are you ready to get your sports banter on? Brian Henninger, love child of Albert Einstein and Howard Cosell, with a body chiseled by Zeus himself. Brandon Sharples, a man who could beat Mike Tyson. In a spelling bee, together they form the At Odds Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday, or no, it's not Monday. That was last episode. It's Thursday, February 15th, 2018. I'm your host, Brian Henninger, and we have an awesome episode of the At Odds Podcast in store for you guys today. We'll be talking LaVar Ball. We'll be talking AJ McCarron. We'll be talking some poker scandals. And then, of course, we'll be doing it all with my wonderful co-host, silky smooth Brandon Sharples. Brandon, how you doing tonight, man?
What's up, buddy? I'm not doing too bad. Just eating some of the stuff called Yum Earth. It's like an organic sour twist candy that my son got in his bag of goodies for his kindergarten Valentine's Day party he had the other day. I don't know, man. I don't know about these fucking organic shit. I mean, I know that it's way better for you and it comes from more natural ingredients, but it just tastes so much shittier.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll tell you what I ate. I grabbed some Jell-O, or not Jell-O, the chocolate vanilla swirl pudding. And they're supposed to be like healthier because they only have 60 calories, but I ate six of them.
Yes. Yeah, you can't just have one. Fuck that. Those are for like little five-year-olds, you know. We're grown
men.
Yeah,
I know. I had two, and I was like, you know, those were really good. And then I just went back, and there were eight in the whole box. I had two yesterday. I was actually able to, you know, be a good yesterday. And then I had two, and then I'm just sitting down, and I'm like, you know what? That was fucking delicious. I'm going to go grab the rest of those. And I can't because I live by myself, and I answer to no one else but me. So...
yeah, man. I,
that was my dinner.
That's whatever.
Six chocolate swirl puddings.
He says that was my dinner. Yeah. I just had some soup today. Oh, man. It was one of those more uneventful days in my life. So, one of those days you can never get back. But you just, you know, you just keep pushing forward.
Dude.
But, yeah, man.
I got – oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say – people have always been telling me I snore a lot, like real bad. So I downloaded this app called Snore Lab or something, and it tracks
did your brother
your sleep
do this?
Sessions. Yeah, he did it too, but I'm worse than him. And I need to grab the results here. It's disturbing.
Oh, I'm waiting for
let's
this.
See. Okay. It looks like your score, if it's in the, they said the average person that gets the app, their snore score for like how loud it is 20. And mine was over 200.
You're a fucking wildebeest out there, huh? Holy
yeah.
Shit.
Right? There's
10 times the national average.
They keep track of the session through quiet, light, loud, and epic. And my session is at epic for like 70%, 78%.
Damn, dude.
So I'm probably going to die of some sleep apnea related shit. So just letting everybody know, they can prepare my eulogies in advance. You know, Brian was
dude,
a cool
my
guy.
Dad, He epically snored the national average. But my stepdad had a really bad sleep apnea problem to the point where like he would stop breathing at nighttime and shit. And we had to go to the sleep clinic, and now he has this sleep apnea, the CPAP machine that goes right up his nose and gives him oxygen all night so he doesn't have a fucking stroke. It's really bad.
My mom's boyfriend uses that too. I don't want to have to get fucking tied up to a goddamn machine, man.
Yeah, man, I don't know. It sucks. It does suck. But yeah, I apologize to everybody that had to have that Hemi by himself bullshit, but it is what it is. I'm looking up my stuff right now. I got a couple lineups in DraftKings tonight. And they're doing okay. Yeah, they're doing all right. You never know with this bullshit. It's like winning the lottery, winning those damn tournaments, that like 100K winner and shit. It's like winning the fucking lottery. It doesn't, the best players, you know, it doesn't mean anything. They're just putting a shit ton of lineups in and praying to God that it works.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, let's talk some, speaking of the Lakers, because the Lakers are playing tonight. LaVar Ball is ruining his child's career with the Lakers right now. And, I think that he might fucking actually ruin his kid's life. Unless his kid grows a pair of balls and tells his dad, fuck you, I'm the ball player here. I'm the one making this money, and I'm not listening to you anymore. You're going to fucking kill my career. Basically, LaVar has been telling openly to the media that he's not going to let Lonzo re-sign with the Lakers once his deal's up, his rookie deal. Unless they sign LiAngelo Ball and LaMelo Ball as well. So he wants all the Ball brothers on the Lakers at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking ridiculous, isn't it? That's the ultimate bullshit move. First of all, LiAngelo sucks. That dude's garbage.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem of all, is LiAngelo Ball is not a prospect at all. Like, he's not going to be drafted. I heard that they probably aren't even going to put him in the D-League. He's that bad. Like, he is
he's
the absolute opposite of a prospect. He's nothing. Like, UCLA lost absolutely nothing when he left the team. And, I mean, he was suspended for the year anyway because of that China stealing bullshit. But they literally, he was not going to be a significant contributor for them. He's not an NBA prospect. How could you possibly hold an NBA franchise hostage over a player that they don't want and that nobody wants? I mean, that is the epitome of bullshit.
Yeah, I don't get it, man. LaMelo, on the other hand, is actually a pretty good ball player. He's skinny as shit. He's tall, but he's like super, super skinny. But I would say that I think, given the fact that he could probably get some size, he's basically built like Lonzo anyway. He could be an NBA. He is an NBA prospect. He could be really good in a couple of years. You know, granted that if his dad doesn't destroy him, but his dad took him into like the shittiest league in Lithuania, stuck him in there to just tear everybody up. And yeah, man, I don't know what to do if I was. I wouldn't know what to do if I was Lonzo, because I think, you know, I've been controlled his entire life by his dad. His dad's like the most controlling father I've ever seen in my life. So he has that like loyalty, and I think it's like a mental fuck that he's got going on. You know what I mean? But, I think that at some point, man, you gotta like cut your dad off. His dad's getting out of control. He wants to be like a Kardashian reality star. And, he's really fucking up his kid's game, because right now the Lakers don't really need Lonzo anymore. Like, when they drafted Lonzo, they were trying to like rebuild the franchise, and they were trying to, center Lonzo in there and basically surround a team with him, like, you know, making him the center point of the team. Well, now they made these trades with like Cleveland and shit, and they freed up some cap space. They got Isaiah Thomas, and I think they basically freed up enough space to where they can actually probably get two stars next year. And I think they're going to make a run at least Paul George, and they're going to try and get like LeBron. And if they can't get LeBron,
they won't get LeBron if Isaiah's there.
Yeah. Oh, they could. He's only. I think they can get rid of his ass. But yeah,
yeah, I think he's at the end of this year.
Yeah. So, but anyway, they can if they don't get LeBron, they still can get Paul George and another star. It's not the same. They're not in the same you know realm like they were when they drafted Lonzo. So hypothetically, they can just say, we don't want to deal with your dad no more. At the end of your rookie year, you're an unrestricted free agent. Fucking see you later. Pretty much, you know what I mean? And then so Lonzo doesn't have to be, you know, he's not going to be in L.A. anymore where his dad wants to control shit. He can go somewhere else. So and he, at a place where they don't want to put up with Lonzo or, you know, LeVar Ball's bullshit. So I think that the best thing for Lonzo is to tell his dad to fuck off and maybe leave the Lakers. You know what I mean? Get away.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
what do you think?
There just becomes a point where if he becomes so much of a distraction, the team is just going to go, you know, it's not fucking worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at, you know, Johnny Manziel. I mean, he was a decent player. He won games as a starter for the Browns, but the Browns were just like, we're tired of his bullshit. So, you know, they just parted ways. Now, this is a different situation. You know, Lonzo's not going around partying and doing drugs and going into rehab and shit. But, I mean, his dad is literally tearing apart the team. Like, when they had that poor stretch where they lost like 8 or 9 games in a row, he talked mad shit about the coach, Luke Walton, threw him under the bus. And Luke is a pretty talented coach. Like, I mean, he's really been a guy that has gotten some of those younger players to rally around him a little bit. He's well liked in the Lakers organization. And then you've got this asshole on the outside. Yeah.
Yeah, like when Steve Kerr had those back problems, he's out like for months at a time. Like Walton, like brought that team to where it was when it won its first championship and everything. And so I mean, Walton's a good coach, and they got a nice little core on there. Like you know, Julius Randle is good. It's pretty good. They got Kyle Kuzma's pretty good. A lot of people are talking shit about Lonzo Ball, saying he sucks, he's you know, he's a bust, he's shooting 32% from the floor, blah blah blah. Dude, he's not a scorer right now, but he's a facilitator of the game. He played okay defense. He wasn't shitty. There's worse defenders out there, but you know, he was averaging like 10-7-7, which is not bad for a rookie. He was just propped up by his own father, and there's so much hype from ESPN on him that he seems like a bust. But I think Lonzo Ball has a nice future ahead of him. I think he's going to be a pretty damn good point guard in this league. I think he's not going to be what LeVar tries to talk shit about and, you know, tell him he's going to be the greatest player in the NBA history type thing. But Lonzo's got a nice future ahead of him, I think. And he just needs to kind of get away from his father and just develop, you know, through NBA, like not through LeVar Ball. And LaMelo, hopefully LaMelo, like, you know, I hope he doesn't get hindered in his development because of his father, because that kid's talented. That kid's real talented. LiAngelo Ball's whack. He's not only does he suck at basketball, but he's like stole shit in China. He's just a punk ass. Like, I don't like even looking at him. I don't like looking at LiAngelo Ball. Every time I look at him, I'm just like, you're a fucking bitch. I just want to punch you in the face. Like, that's when I think of him. And then when I see LaMelo, I'm just like, you're just a little kid, man. You know what I mean? He's got that baby face. Like, I have no problem with him, you know? He's just kind of like just living in that fucking shitty household with his dad. And then Lonzo's always been pretty respectable to the media. He's never really, you know, been cocky or anything. It's all been his dad. But LiAngelo, dude, he's just like a bitch. He just looks like that dude I would not like.
So I'm worried about LaMelo, too. I mean,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Not even playing basketball. He's not even going to play in his senior year. Actually, it's his junior year. Like, he skipped out for basketball his junior year. Now he's off at 16 years old playing in Lithuania.
Yeah, you know, dude.
He's not even getting, like, to be a kid. Like, he's already being forced to play. Like, even LeBron played through his senior year of high school before he jumped to the pros. So, you know, this kid has no childhood. It's bull. Like, How much bullshit is that? You can't be a kid. Now he's basically got to be a pro starting at 16. It's like child labor.
Yeah, and then you're like putting him in Lithuania, like taking him away from his friends and shit. Like, what the fuck, man? LeVar is such a piece of shit. I used to have up and down thoughts on him. Remember, like, one of our first episodes, I trashed him for the way
he was. We talked about him a lot, about the pressure
which was always true. But then I started thinking, man, this dude's kind of smart because he's selling these sneakers and he's kind of like taking control of everything. He's taking control away from people that are used to having all the control. But then, like, he just got overwhelming with it. And it was like, I'm back to like, fuck you, LeVar Ball. You're ruining your kid's life. And when you took your kids over to Lithuania and then you're trying to hold the Lakers hostage, they'll kick Lonzo to the curb, and they don't need him anymore. They got Isaiah Thomas, who I'm not a big fan of. I think he's overrated too, but they got Kyle Kuzma and Isaiah Thomas, and they're trying to get Paul George. And like I said, if they can get, LBJ over there, and you never know, man, who they even draft this year, So they don't need Lonzo, man. So, yeah, that's my take on that, man. I just think LeVar Ball, and any parent that acts that way, I'm hoping that, like, we don't see a bunch of LeVar Ball clones now. You know what I mean? Thinking they can create their own shitty little fucking cheap shoes and sell them for $500 and telling their kids that they can't, pulling them out of school and sticking them in fucking Germany to play basketball, something like that. He's going to start a trend amongst these psycho-ass fucking parents, and I just don't like it. I don't like what he's doing. He's a douche. He's annoying. I don't like the way he like freaking shakes his head. He's like, he reminds me of Bill Cosby, like when he's like always on the commercials, like shaking his head about gelatin and shit. You know what I'm talking about? Like the pudding is going in my mouth. God.
There, it all comes back together after I ate those 6 cups of pudding.
Oh, yeah, shit, I forgot you did eat all this pudding. I do love tapioca pudding, man. I always have rice pudding and tapioca pudding on deck.
It wasn't tapioca, though.
Yeah, no, you had the chocolate with the vanilla swirl or whatever. But I have those two for the kids. But I tell you what, man, I'm always with the fucking tapioca and rice pudding. Get rice pudding. It's fucking banging. I love it. I really like it. I like the texture and everything. Good shit. I'm hungry now. Dude, I'm like in a major mood for like barbecue. I've been watching Man vs. Food. Secondly, when the fuck did Man vs. Food change? When did they change lead characters?
Oh, they don't have.
Yeah, it's a new dude. He's kind of weird. Do you know what he looks like? He looks like the dude you would see at like a local tavern in like some small town that's always fucking hammered. Like, he looks like the town drunk is what this dude looks like. The original guy's name is Adam. I don't know what happened to Adam. This new guy is just like some ginger haired, like parts it down the middle. He's just fucking weird. Like, I don't know. He just looks like he's always hammered. Like, he looks like he just drank a bottle of Jack and then he came on the show. And like, I've seen some of his eat challenges and like, he just gives up. Compared to Adam, he just sucks. His showmanship sucks compared to Adam. I liked Adam way better. I don't know what the hell happened to Adam. I don't know if he got like bypass surgery on his stomach and said, I can't eat this shit no more. I don't know if he had producer problems. I don't know what the hell happened, but I don't like it now. They changed it.
All right.
I'm going to look.
I will check.
For you guys.
I got it. He,
oh, do you?
Yeah. It looks like he quit the show in 2012. After retiring from professional eating because it was extremely unhealthy and he had gained a shit ton of weight.
So who's the new freak show? Look at this new guy. He's just weird. Doesn't he look like the most hammered?
He still has shows. He still does things. But yeah, he doesn't do Man vs. Food anymore.
Yeah, he needs to because this new guy sucks. I'm going to find out what his name is. Casey Webb. His name's Casey Webb. So for our listeners, look up Casey Webb and tell me he does not look like the town drunk. he always a red-faced and sweaty looking. He just looks like he's always perpetually hammered. So I don't know. I don't like the show as much anymore. But I do love watching those old reruns where you got like the rib shows. And I'm all about barbecue, man. And
I got introduced. Some great food through Man vs. Food when they stopped by Columbus and when I was living there. like Thurman's Cafe, the best burger I've ever had in my life.
You did tell me. You told me to go down to Thurman's. Dude, I actually went through, I went to St. Louis. I've been there. I've been to St. Louis at least half a dozen times, maybe more, but I had to go there for some military training when I was in the Air Force. I was in a medic and I was working the trauma unit over at the St. Louis University Hospital. And they put us up in a hotel and I got a government card and I, you know, I could just basically eat whatever I want and put on this card. Well, I went to two places, Pappy's, which is on Man vs. Food, and Bogart's, which is on Man vs. Food. And they're two barbecue joints. And they're actually, Bogart's was created by one of the pit masters from Pappy's. I tell you what, man, some of the best barbecue I've ever had in my life. I went there and I would, obviously it was on government dime. So I fucking was ordering like the huge platters of ribs when literally everything came in the platter. And I was just getting all kinds of shit. And like Bogart's beans, they freaking slow cook their meat over top the beans. So the fat and the excess meat just drips into the bean. Isn't that awesome? They got like this amazing Texas toast. Oh, it's fucking amazing, dude. Amazing. They have these awesome smoked wings and shit. So I'm just freaking dying of hunger right now. I need some freaking barbecue. Where do we go, Jimmy?
I'm looking forward to these Sharples video food reviews.
Oh, I'm doing it. I'm starting soon. Actually, we just settled on a camera. We're gonna be getting that this week, and I'll be starting soon, dude. Is it Jimmy G's that we go to?
Oh yeah, is that gonna be your first place? Jimmy G's in Fremont.
But I should go there because remember I like that girl. She is sexy. To have her like as part of like my initial review, she can come and try the food with me and everything and tell me what it's all in there and shit. But yeah, those guys, that shit was amazing. But no, I don't know what my first place is going to be. I'm going to be going all over. I'm going to go to Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati, Kentucky, where a couple of my buddies are. I'm going to go to Toledo for sure. I'll be up in Ann Arbor because they got amazing food up in Ann Arbor. I'll go to Detroit barbecue places. I'm going to be visiting Arizona, so I'll be, filming these taco places for you guys. I'll be out in fucking Cali. I'm going to be doing all kinds of cool shit. I'm really taking this
seriously. I was informed of incredible barbecue in New Regal today. So
that little ass place?
Yeah.
New Regal, they're in like the Mac, right? Aren't New Regal in the Mac? The Mac conference?
I don't know. I just know it's the New Regal Cafe.
I'll tell you what, for our listeners in other states, there's this conference in Ohio, and it's a small little area in like west central Ohio, and they have the Mid-Athletic Conference, the MAC. It is probably the best small school, high school football, basically all sports conference in the country. Not just Ohio, in the fucking country. They've had multiple state champions from that small conference in Ohio, like every year for like the last decade. They're just amazing. Mm-hmm. And not only are they killing it in football, every year they have a state champion from that conference in football. And it's not even just the same, like, it's not like the SEC where they say, oh, it's all Bama. No, it's like everybody in that conference has won a state championship over like the last decade, like everybody. And they win it in track and they win it in volleyball and basketball and baseball. Every sport, they're just fucking crushing it. And I'm just like, what are they putting in the water? Because it's like it's not even inner city. It's like a backwoods country town. Like, it's predominantly white, honestly. And it's just crazy how amazing these guys dominate. And it's just like one of those things that, like, you just check it out, man. Just Google that shit. If you guys are from, are not familiar with Ohio sports, Google that. MAC conference. They're amazing. But I thought New Regal was in that conference, but they may not be. They may not be. But I thought they were for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Might be New Bremen.
No, that conference, Bremen. I mean, the Coldwater, Delphus St. John's, Minster, Marion, Versailles, St. Henry. I mean, all those schools. There will be schools that come out of that conference with like four losses that win the state championship. Like, I think Minster did.
Minster was like 7-7, they're like 8-5 or like 7-4.
Yeah. No, I picked like, against them every time, not knowing.
They're like 6-5 going into the state title.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like,
and they didn't just win. They were crushing everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They came in with like, Minster was like 6-5 coming in, or like maybe 6-4. I think they were 6-4. Yeah. They had to have been. They only played 10 games prior to the postseason. Minster was 6-4 this year, and they murked everybody in the state playoffs and just ran through it, and they crushed in the state finals. And they were 6-4 in their conference. That's because their conference like spans over like three divisions, and they're really good. Everybody, Marion Locals won like fucking five straight state titles or something like that. It's ridiculous. It's just crazy what they do, and it's like I said, all sports. Like even they got like a town, like a little city called New Knoxville that's like won basketball and football. It came out of nowhere, and it's crazy. It's pretty crazy. But enough of that. What did you think about the what do you think about the Browns might be signing AJ McCarron now that he got now that he's basically won his appeal to become a he had a grievance to be an unrestricted free agent. I don't know what the exact reason. Why weren't they letting him be one? What was that about?
Okay.
Oh, were they trying to franchise
him? From 2014, they had him. They said it was a non-football injury list or something. So they basically got an extra year of control with him. And he filed the grievance to say that he should have been put on the injured reserve. And they basically gamed the system to keep him an extra year, and he won the grievance. So
yeah,
that's how he's an unrestricted free agent. So the Browns or anybody can go after him. But you know it's going to be the Browns because Hugh Jackson is in absolute love with AJ McCarron. The Browns almost traded for him during the regular season, giving up more to get him than the fucking San Francisco 49ers gave up to get Jimmy Garoppolo. Just think about that.
Yeah.
49ers gave up a second round pick. The Browns tried to give up a second and third round pick for AJ McCarron. And that was just for half a year of control. Well, I guess a year and a half if that grievance.
Play in 2000. That's the thing. Like, he only played in 2015. He completed like 66% of his passes. He had six touchdowns, two interceptions. QBR is 53, nothing exciting, 97 rating. The problem is, like, that was 2015, and those are okay numbers, but they're against mainly the backups. He didn't really get to play much. And then he played a little bit in 2017, but he only attempted 14 passes, and he only completed half of them. No touchdowns, no picks. Like, his QBR was 18. I don't quite understand where this love for AJ McCarron comes from. I don't hate the guy. I like Alabama, you know, but I'm an SEC guy. But I don't understand where a lot of these. I'm seeing Browns fans on Facebook like excited about this, and I'm just like, what the fuck are you excited about? Like, you've been mediocre at quarterback for so long. Why are you excited about bringing in a worse quarterback than some of the guys you brought in the past? He's got a worse resume than Hoyer. He's got a worse resume than fucking McCown. He's got a worse resume than a lot of guys that came in and played quarterback for you guys. So I don't really understand why people are, like, pumped to get him just because he has a relationship with Hugh Jackson. So what? Mm-hmm. Hugh Jackson's garbage. Hugh Jackson is a garbage coach. I don't fucking understand how you can win one game in 2 years and still have a fucking job. Like, I'm even one of those guys that kind of, sometimes I wouldn't mind giving a guy an extra chance or an extra year to see what he has. But I think the Browns had a pretty decent squad this year, and he still won zero games. He won none. He went 0-16 and embarrassed the city of Cleveland with a pretty fucking decent record. Not a great one, but enough to win a couple games. And they weren't even competitive.
They had a good defensive line, a good offensive line. They had good running backs.
Yeah.
They had good tight ends. Their linebackers were pretty decent. I mean, their secondary wasn't very good, and their receivers weren't good until the end of the season when Gordon came back. But I don't understand how you could suck so hard with the talent that they had on the roster. Do you know they officially renamed January 31st Hugh Jackson Day?
They what?
They renamed January 31st Hugh Jackson Day.
Why?
131.
Oh, Jesus, that's hilarious. That is hilarious. Yeah, I don't get that whole AJ McCarron thing. I really don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get the love affair either. I mean, I would have been perfectly content if they could have got Garoppolo, but they didn't. So Like, don't throw in. I mean, if you want McCarron that bad, get him, but don't break the bank. The Browns have more cap room by a ridiculous margin this offseason than any other team. Like, I think more than $30 million available than any other team, even the shittiest team with the most cap space, other than the Browns. So,
yeah.
Please.
There would have been something.
Don't throw
down
the Jimmy G money. Like, to a guy that is, at least Jimmy G went out and won 5 games in a row to earn his contract. If they give if they give AJ McCarron even a quarter of Jimmy G, I'm going to be pissed.
The thing is, like, there had to have been something behind the scenes for Jimmy G not to go to Cleveland, because they offered more. I just don't think that Bill Belichick wanted him to go to Cleveland.
I think he probably did. He liked Jimmy G, and he didn't want to subject him to Cleveland.
I really think so. Because he wanted to keep Jimmy G as his quarterback. Yeah, why not? I mean, dude, I'm eating some chocolate right now. It's so fucking good. I was talking about all that barbecue and shit. I'm like, I'm too hungry. What's the closest thing near to me? But, no. Remember, I was a huge Jimmy G fan. I'm not trying to act like I know everything, but that I saw. I have no problem with the contract Jimmy G got, because it's going to lock him up and he's going to perform for you. You know about AJ McCarron. I feel like he's got kind of a weak arm. He doesn't run particularly well. You don't know about his like leadership, because you don't see his leadership. He hasn't had to do anything in the NFL. I don't know anything about that. So I'm not really sure what he brings to the table to where you can give him any money, like anything, like other than maybe a 1 or 2 year deal. Like, what? He's going to end up getting signed for like 4 or 5 years. Some fucking bullshit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get overpaid for like nothing. He's thrown 6 touchdowns and 2 interceptions like in the last 3 years. That's crazy. I just don't get it. So, if I'm the Browns, I would not sign him. I would try and go through the draft, which a lot of people think. A lot of people want that Allen from Wyoming. Why? Why do you want Josh Allen from Wyoming? I don't get it. I think a lot of people just parrot what they see, and they want to be like, oh, I called it. He's from Wyoming, but I called it. No, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. He's wildly inconsistent. Wild on the routes. He misses constantly. Yeah, he's got a fucking cannon. He's got a cannon, and it's one of the bigger arms that you've seen in the last decade. Yes, he does have a monster arm. It's like Kyle Bowler had a monster arm. This guy misses constantly. He's a statue in the fucking pocket. He's not people like trying to compare him to Carson Wentz. Let me tell you, the people are trying to compare him to Carson Wentz are, they've never seen Josh Allen fucking play. I guarantee they've never seen him take a snap in fucking anything ever. They may have YouTubed his ass, but I guarantee you they've never seen him take a snap, and they don't know what the fuck they're talking about, because Carson Wentz does not look anything like Josh Allen on the fucking field. I promise you.
So who do you think's the best quarterback that should be taken in this draft?
Sam Darnold. Sam fucking Darnold. I'm going to tell you right now, Sam Darnold, and you know I don't miss much on quarterbacks. I really honestly don't. That's my favorite fucking position. And I just watch in awe. When every time I watch, I just break that shit down. I'm telling you right now, Sam Darnold is easily, it's not even a fucking question in my mind. He is so much better than everybody in this draft. He is the number one pick. Any other pick is a wasted pick. Barkley is not the pick you want. I promise you. He's a novelty. He's fucking Reggie Bush, man. Like, I was big on Reggie Bush, but then I realized, why was I so high on Reggie Bush? Yeah, he's one of the best running backs I've ever seen in college, but he's not a workhorse back. I don't think Barkley is either. Like, I just don't. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you this. I do not dislike Barkley. I'm not dumb. He is very talented, but he's not – to take him number one overall, he's not Zeke in the slightest bit at all. So don't think you're getting another Zeke. You're not. You know what I mean? To take him number one overall is the dumbest fucking thing ever. So if anybody is listening to this and you think you should take Barkley number one, fuck off. You're stupid. I think you're dumb. But so I'm going to break down Darnold for you. One, his arm, his release is fucking amazing. He's got the quickest release in this fucking draft class and one of the quickest I've ever seen. He had a shitty offensive line, and he didn't have that many playmakers at this year at USC. So he was working with a lot less than what people are thinking because they're so overhyped preseason. People are talking about them being in the playoff and shit, but they lost a lot to the draft. And Juju Smith-Schuster was a huge playmaker they lost, and they lost a lot of people on the a lot of depth on the offensive line and the defensive line. I mean, it was just it was one of those things where people just don't take into context what was going on. Like, he didn't look good against Ohio State. Yeah, because his line is garbage, and Ohio State's defensive line was one of the best in the country. He had no time. He was getting mauled. But you know what I did notice? Him escaping, getting out of the pocket, and making some really nice throws that were dropped. And you know what? All he was trying to do was win the game against Ohio State. He was trying to make plays. And he knew that he had no time, and he had to make plays, and they were getting beat up. And Ohio State was running the ball, like, at will against USC. So, like, he was just trying to make plays. He's a fucking gunslinger. All these comparisons to Favre from other quarterbacks, and I'm telling you, Sam Darnold is Favre. Sam Darnold's Favre. Sam Darnold is amazing quarterback. If you want a quarterback that's going to make all the throws, does he have the strongest arm in the draft? No, Josh Allen does. But he still has a strong enough arm that he's going to compete with all the quarterbacks in the NFL now. And he's a gunslinger. He'll fucking make those plays for you. He throws amazing out of the pocket on the run. He's probably the best on the run quarterback I've seen in a long time. So he runs amazing. He throws amazing on the run. He's not afraid to fucking throw the ball. He's smart. He's got great leadership qualities. He's fucking big. He can run. What more do you want? Just because he has all these turnovers? Yeah, he has all these fucking turnovers because he's trying to make plays to win the game because he's all they had. That team was overrated as fuck. So Sam Darnold is the pick. And if you blow that pick, go ahead. But Sam Darnold's going to go tear shit up for somebody else. And then Browns are just going to have another quarterback on their list that they fucking passed up. Go ahead and pick up fucking Josh Rosen. He's overrated too. He's not that good. But I'm telling you right now, Sam Darnold is a franchise, multiple Pro Bowler, future Super Bowl winning QB if he stays healthy. He's that good. He was not overhyped. He was hyped exactly where he needs to be. He was just trying to make plays. I'm telling you, just watch it. Watch those games if you can. If you can go back and watch some games of Sam Darnold, he's just trying to make plays when there's nothing there, when he has to. That's where the turnovers come from. The line sucked. He has his running backs were weak. They're just speed guy. They're speed guys. He had no power running game. They're running like they're trying to run a pro offense with like spread guys. So like I'm telling you right now, Sam Darnold is the guy you need to pick. End of fucking discussion.
Okay.
End of discussion.
Good. So let's move on to the final topic, and this is the one I want to hear the most about because I know the leaped about it, and I know that apparently you're the expert. There is some shady shit going on with online poker. So I want to hear everything you've got to say about this one, Brandon. So take it away, man.
All right. I play a lot of online poker. I play at America's Card Room, which is, as everybody knows, online poker was declared illegal in the U.S. on Black Friday back in like 2010, I believe it was. They called it Black Friday because it was a Friday and they shut all the Americans out of online poker and Full Tilt got fucking indicted on all kinds of federal charges. And they were running basically like a scheme where they were taking players' money to pay themselves. And it wasn't enough in the pot to repay everybody. So say everybody at once wanted to get all their money off. They didn't have enough money to keep them because they're paying themselves outlandish salaries. And they're paying all this money for these pros to wear their shit in tournaments stuff, and it was just a fucking mess. And a lot of people didn't get their money back off of Full Tilt. I was one of them. I think I lost a couple thousand on there because I just never got it back from them. Poker Stars was cool because Poker Stars people, American players, obviously got cut off of their site too, but they cut a deal to pay back American players, and they did pay them back, but Full Tilt didn't pay them back right away, and I don't know if they ever did. So at least not me. So anyway, What's going on is you have all these overseas sites started popping up that were servicing American players, which is illegally, but what they were doing is people were putting on money, and when they would charge, when they charge your bank account, it comes up as like some overseas like furniture store or some overseas, like they have these shell companies that they bill you through. And that's what comes up on your billing statement for the bank. So the banks don't reject these, and the banks don't, keep you from putting money on these. So it's shady as fuck for one. And then when you would like get these checks, I would get checks from like Canada and Singapore and shit. And I would always get questioned on them by the bank until I started being able to, you can use your phone and you can deposit via your phone, taking pictures. Well, the problem is Canadian checks have an extra routing number. And a lot of times it would reject these checks. You'd have to go to your bank. If you got the ones from Singapore, they would go right through. So I would always pray to God that these checks would be from Singapore. Well, now I do everything through Bitcoin. So I will deposit on there with my debit card, and it will bill my bank like some bullshit from overseas, like fucking some knitting supplies or something stupid. But when I cash out, I always cash out through Bitcoin, and they'll set it to my Coinbase account, and then it will be and basically I put it directly to my USD, which is like my actual money. And so it goes there and it sells like all the Bitcoin and gives me cash. And then so when I direct deposit into my bank account, it comes up as Bitcoin. So it's perfectly legal. And that's how it works. And I do claim this shit on my taxes. So IRS, I'm sure, is going to listen to this. I claimed it on my taxes this year. So anyway, what's going on is these companies are a little shady, as you've now heard how they run their business. And what's going on is there's these programs called bots, and they're bot programs that a lot of people use these, and they'll go on these tables with their own bots. And these bots are like computer programs that play poker. They're not real people. And they play like through a certain algorithm, and these people are knowing the whole cards of these bots. And it's just like, they're multi-counting, you know. You're not supposed to have multiple accounts playing at one time. There's that's going on, and they're running rampant. These bots are rampant. They're throughout the tournaments, throughout cash games. It's just fucking insane. And what's other loophole that's going on with the tournaments is, for some reason, ACR, America's Card Room, has this late registration period, and it literally runs like right up to about where the bubble is. So say they pay out 188 people. Well, their late registration runs so late, by the time that it's late registration's over, you're only like 50 to 60 people from cashing. So you get a lot of people that wait until the very last minute you can register for the tournament. They'll register, and they're basically already cashing. And what they're doing is, the way that it's set up on ACR is that when you late register, it sticks people in order of late register on a table. So if a bunch of guys collude together and they all register at the exact same time, they'll all get stuck on the same table together. So let's say there's four or five of them. So they got five guys that are colluding with each other that literally automatically get placed on the table together. And then you got four other suckers that get fucked because these five guys are sharing cards. And then the other three or four guys that are at the table are getting demolished because half the table knows what the other guys got. And they're just fucking killing each other on that. So it's like there's like a loophole that America's Card Room refuses to fix. Now, do you get what I'm saying with that? How that's shady? These people can literally just all late register at the exact same time and and guarantee that they're at the same table. It's supposed to work. It's supposed to be random. You're not supposed to stick everybody that registers together at one table. So they're allowing people to collude, and it's like, it's almost like they don't give a shit. So they won't change the way they're doing things. They're letting people late register way too late in the tournament and they're basically like, I've done this. I've late registered where it's like the last minute before you can't register anymore, and I'll be in the money within like, and it's like, awesome, yeah, cool. At the same time, it's kind of shitty for everybody that's been grinding it out the whole time to make the money, and you just come in, and you only got like six big blinds left and you're about to be in the money. If you double up once, you're fucking in the money. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's a little shady. That's kind of the cheating portion.
They let people into the tournament right before the money.
Yeah, they're running their late registration super late into the tournament, hours into the tournament, like 16 blind level. And they
that's some bullshit for sure.
Yeah.
Like they should be cutting off registration.
What'd you say?
Yeah, I was just saying they should be cutting off registration like when the tournament starts, you know? Or if there's like a rebuy, then when
a lot of tournaments have late registration. Even tournaments in like casinos and stuff, they have late registration where you can register up to a certain blind. I have no problem with late registration. I have a problem making the late registration so deep that you're basically cashing right when you register at the very last minute. You only have to double up like one time. Then you just kind of sit there and wait for yourself to cash. And it sucks because a lot of times what happens is you only have five or six, seven big blinds left. You get in there and you're shoving with like basically whatever. And then these guys are getting priced in to call you because they got, you know, they got 100,000 chips. You got 10,000. It costs them basically nothing on their call. They call you with like 6-4 because it's fucking the right odds and it's the right thing to do. They're getting the correct odds to call you, but you woke up with ace king or kings or aces, and then you double up and boom, you're right in the money because you play right. You're in the money pretty much. So you just got that one double up. It's just fucked up the way they go so deep. And then the biggest problem is letting people register together. So if I register and six guys that registered right after me, we'll all be at the same table together. Well, if you got six guys that want to collude together, there you go. That's how you guarantee yourself at the same table as your buddies. Isn't that fucked up? And they're not fixing it. So then this guy, Joey Ingram, he's been exposing America's Card Room for all this crap. He gets on this Shark Scope, which is like a place that tracks your winning percentage, your return on investment percentage and everything. Mm-hmm. These guys on these tournaments, these cheaters that he's called out cheating, they have like 70 and 80. Some of these guys have between 60 and 85% return ROI on tournaments. That's fucking insane. The best players in the world have like 18. You know what I mean? Yeah. So they're like crazy high, like clear as day cheating. He also thinks that there may be some super users out there. Now, what a super user is that these players they've hacked into the algorithm and they can literally see whole cards and shit. And he thinks that there's people like that on that site. Yeah, he believes that
that's true.
Yeah, he thinks that's true because he says there's no fucking way these people are having like playing. He says he's gotten percentages on these guys are going in and like 5-10 cent PLO, like low stakes and like cashing out a couple thousand a month, and their fucking cash rate's insane, like way higher than the average everybody else. They're just killing it on there, and they're always like Eastern European accounts and shit like that. And yeah, there's these bots that play together and. It's just shit like that, man. It's just basically just watch yourself. If you play online poker still, just watch yourself. If you just watch what's going on, start paying attention to what happened. Another thing that they do is when you get to these late registration guys, you'll start seeing them tank. So it'll take like the full amount of time to make decisions from the start of their, like they late registered. Cause what they're trying to do is they're trying to get everybody knocked out. So they make it in the money. They're trying to cash quickly. And then they're trying to basically, these guys aren't even trying to win the tournament. They're just getting in late and they're all like taking their full clock to make decisions. And they're basically passing chips back and forth. And then they cash. And they're all, that's how they make their money. They're just trying to min cash at least make money. And if they can go farther, they go farther. If not, they're supposed to do, and they got their cash. So it's a little shitty, right? Mm-hmm. Shady setup.
Yeah, that's some bullshit. I think I think some big players should be looking into that.
Well, Joey Ingram's been looking into it, and like you should see the CEO of this America's Card Room. I can't even believe that I still play on it because this dude looks like the fucking dude that you'd be playing in a garage with, like from Oak Harbor, Ohio. Like this guy. does not look like a CEO. He doesn't talk like a CEO. He looks like a dude just started some shit out of his garage and it blew up. He's fucking retarded. He looks retarded. He acts retarded. He dresses retarded. He looks like the dude at your local grocery store. We're sitting at the end of the bar. And I'm like, this is a guy. The one thing that ACR does better than everybody else is I've never had a problem with the payout. They're mm-hmm. amazing at paying their players. They're not trying to financially fuck you on like not paying you, taking forever. They're pretty quick about payout. Everybody, that's their number one thing. But their security is terrible. I'm telling you, these bots. They're bots. They're fucking bot programs, and they test these bot programs in free rolls, right? So they sick these guys mm-hmm. in free rolls. They see how well these bots work and how well their algorithms are working and everything. And then once they figure out that they're working pretty well, they start moving them up to like these 5-10 cent games, which doesn't sound like much, but you can grind out $100 a day on these. You know what I mean? And that's mm-hmm. what all they're doing. They're just trying to win a couple thousand a month, and they're undetected. They're not trying to jump up to 5,100 PLO. They're not trying to fuck people out of 100K because then that draws too much attention. But there are bots and some pretty decent bots. Like I play a lot of limit hold'em. I never used to, but I do now. And I'll notice that these players, they don't talk in the chat. They're from different countries. They just fucking, they're just like clockwork on the way they do things. And the way they call and the amount of time they take to make their calls and how like you can get them off the hand on the river. They're priced in the call, but they didn't hit. So they're not, now they're like folding. They're mucking when they shouldn't be folding. And they're calling when you don't think they're going to be calling. It's fucking crazy. So I know I've played bots before. I guarantee I my life, I know I've played against bots. And it's crazy. And this is like your money. Like I'm trying to win more money. And like I was telling you like off air earlier, like too much defying mathematical logic happens on these online poker sites. And it's a little scary. Like I know a lot of people can't stand losing. So it'd be like, man, I got in with aces and I lost to queens, man. Like, no, yeah, that happens to everybody. It's called variance and it does happen. And on the flip side, all these players it keeps happening to them and they're starting to get a collective database of hand histories. And these hand histories are starting to show that mathematically they are not holding up to like, you know, mathematically you're supposed to get aces cracked every so many hands, right? Well, this shit is not. The mathematical odds are not playing out in the favor of ACR. There are other players are for the favor of ACR. And people are like, well, why would they do that? Because they get fucking more rake when they make these pots. Like another thing that people are starting to realize is, and it's kind of becoming glaringly obvious at this point, is these flops and these hands are like built for action. Every fucking hand, there's at least two people that can play a fucking monster pot. And it's crazy. And they think that the program, the algorithm is programmed to create action. And that's shitty because there's always going to be somebody who's going to be losing their ass. That's why you see so many swings. But what it does is it creates max rake all the time. On top of that, it creates basically an addiction to gambling when you win these big ass pots. But it also creates mm-hmm. like a situation where these people that keep losing, they keep depositing more money. And they get more money on the site. So they're getting more rake, more money deposited, people with bigger swings. So they're going to play more. You know what I mean? So that makes a lot of sense. And I see it firsthand. And like, countless times I'm going in deep in the tournament. It seems like the chip stack, I have aces, right? And I have 67,000 in chips deep into a tournament. And I go all in, and the dude with 125 calls me, 125K calls me. He's got me covered double. But I have aces, and he's got fucking ace-queen, or he's got sixes. Dude, too many times to count, defying mathematical logic, these spike the five, the six, or they'll get Broadway. Just something fucking crazy happens. Or you'll see shit like, you know, you'll have aces and they'll have ace queen and there's only a king on the flop and they'll float the flop. And then the turn, you can almost call it. And you're like, fuck, I know a jack's coming on the turn. Boom, a fucking jack comes. And then you know mm-hmm. you're almost fucked. Once that comes, you're like, shit. I think it's fucked. This algorithm's going to fuck me because the 10's coming. And the 10 comes, you know, shit like that. And it's getting strange because in the comment sections of these videos on YouTube, and I'll actually – we'll share these videos on our podcast site in Belly Up Sports, and you can just take a look at these for yourself. It's very interesting. Even if you don't play online poker, it's really interesting to see what's going on, even if you just want to see a scandal. But these players are starting to realize that what's going on with these like hands, and they're starting to share their hand history. And it's and they're making comments, like these are hundreds of people saying the same thing that I've said. I can start, it's getting to the point where, especially in PLO, I can start calling the next card on the turn. Like, I'd be like, it's going to be a fucking 10 of diamonds on the turn. Just wait. And boom, it's right there. It's crazy to me. It's like, I'll go in behind in the tournament and I'll be like, I got this dude covered in chips, is deep in a tournament. I almost feel like it's, you get that feeling like, dude, I'm going to hit, because it's like almost like I'm destined to beat this guy. Like, you get this feeling of destiny. You get this feeling of you can call the cards. It's almost like you figure this algorithm consciously in your head. And it's getting a little shady to me. I might cool it a little bit on there.
Yeah, you sound like you need to take a break.
Yeah. And, you know, I've done pretty well on there. You've seen me. I've gone deep in tournaments. You've watched me play. And I've done plenty of times where I've turned $50 into, you know, $1,500 in one day. And but I've lost, too. You know, I've lost. I'm not saying I'm perfect every time. And I've lost, too. But even in my – like, the other day, like, I turned $50 into $1,200 to catch out $1,200. And I still had a couple hundred on there. But granted, I had a great day. I had a great – couple of days. It was like over a span of like, you know, maybe like 36 hours, something around there, maybe less than that, maybe like, you know, 30 hours. But basically I should have won way more. I still had crazy shit happening like over a period of time, and there's like these couple players at my 10-20 limit hold'em that I was playing. There's a couple players that were just playing like back and forth like clockwork, and it was just, it just seemed a little shady to me. And I actually left the table. I got up a couple hundred bucks and I just left that table. I'm like, this is just not, doesn't seem right to me. And yeah, that's shit that's been going on with online poker. There's also sites like Ignition, which was taken over. They took over Bovada's poker. You don't have screen names on that site. It's straight numbers. So when you get on the table, you're 1 through 6 if you're six-handed, or you're 1 through 9 if it's nine-handed. And if you're a tournament, you're player 972. You know what I mean? Like, you're assigned a number. So you never know if you're playing the same guy, ever. So like, say I'm on American, I keep playing the same stakes, you know, 3 low, 10-20 limit, 50 limit. I see the same stakes on those guys. Makes this kind of 3-bet on this search and flop, blah blah blah. You know, you get it. You make notes. You create a database of information for these players. Well, on Ignition, how the fuck are you going to do that? Player two fucking 3-bets 72% of the time. Yeah. Well, what happens when you leave that table? You come back. That note's not going to be there. You can only make notes for that session of that table. The notes go away. They clear. They don't stay with the player. So that's a little shady. So people, these bots can just get together and you'll never know. You'll never see the same screen name. It's shady as fuck. And there, a lot of these bots are programmed from Eastern Europe. They're Eastern European programs. And yeah, it's running rampant. Russians, fucking cheating Russians. I'm not saying Americans don't cheat, because they do, but it's easier over there. So... yeah, man, just take a look into it. I'll give you guys the links on this shit. It's pretty intense, actually, once you start watching these YouTube videos of what's going on. And it's at the point where, like, I kind of want to get them – I want them to get fucking shut down almost, because they're – it seems like – think about this, man. They have to basically launder their money to get this company working in the United States. They have to launder it through these shell companies and shit. And who has the resources and time to do that? Organized crime, right? So you really start thinking that, are these guys like in bed with some organized crime? Am I going to get fucking murdered now that I'm on air talking about this? Like, I don't know.
Probably not.
You don't know. You don't know. Probably
the problem
not.
Is, at the moment, it's a lot of hearsay.
Well, there's these. What's going on? From what I'm saying, because I'm not running. I'm not on these fucking YouTube channels giving you the exact breakdown. I'm just giving you a snaps of what's going on, what you can look into, what you're going to be looking for when you watch these videos. I'm not breaking them down in the exact mathematical percentages that you will see on these videos that I will share with you guys later. Just get on Belly Up Sports, get on, At Odds Podcast, Facebook. I will post these YouTube videos and you watch them. Just watch them. It's crazy. And, yeah, it is hearsay, but it's also backed by math. It's also, these accounts have been banned.
I want to see the database. Like, I understand the whole people getting in at the last second on tournaments, but
yeah,
like if you're going to go out there and say that somebody is like fucking with, like the algorithms,
the one thing is that outside of the super users are just more of like an observation. However, the other shit that I talked about, the bots, those get banned constantly. Even mm-hmm. in the videos, there's 15 accounts that he talks about 15 accounts that got banned. They banned the accounts. These bots are widely known and they're not denied by even the CEO of America's Card Room or Ignition or anybody. They know the bots exist. They acknowledge them. And all they say is they try to find them and they try to kick them off and they kick the accounts that play with them off. So yeah, I mean, it's basically, this is all truth. The super user is the one that, yeah, you are right. You will need more proof on that. But think about this. There's a lot of overlay on these tournaments, and there's also like the other day, Sicilian missed its million mark by like 186,000. So that the ACR lost 186,000 just on that tournament that day of buy-in because the buy-ins didn't hit the million guarantee yet. So a lot of people think that this is just hearsay again. But people aren't starting to not doubt that maybe America's Card Room has their own bots. They have their own players playing because they try to knock some of these bigger guys out at the end of, you know, at the very end. You know, what better way to get away with, you know, $186,000 loss than having your bot or your guy that's, you know, playing for you take down the $179,000 grand prize, right? Mm-hmm. And nobody can ever prove any of this shit. That's the scary part. It's extremely hard to fully prove and prosecute. You know what I mean? You have to like, you can read between the lines and it almost becomes obvious, but the legality of it is that they can't prove without, you know, beyond a reasonable doubt, like you can do these offshore places. And it's hard. It's hard to prove anything. So basically you just, like guys like me that play all the time, you're basically just at a point where you just want to, you know, hope for the best, you know, you got to hope for the best. So I like, the only thing that keeps me coming back is that addiction to cutting $1,500 checks into off of my, you know, off of my Bitcoin because of poker, you know what I mean? Or like, say I pay child support. I pay for everything with my kids. So it's nice to have that extra $1,000 a month, you know? So that's what keeps me coming back. But I think that the reason that it doesn't affect me as much as it affects these professional players is that my style is I have a quick hit. I run my bankroll up extremely fast compared to the average player because I overextend my bankroll. So say I have $100 on there, I will play all 100 at one table, which is a fucking huge no-no if you're trying to build a bankroll. But I can run my bankroll up extremely fast. So I'll go from 100 to 2,000 like in a couple of days, maybe even one day. Whereas other people say they have 100 and they're starting to grind it out at the 5-10 cent fucking PLO or something. It'll take them a fucking, you know, an entire couple months to one run it up to 2,000, you know, if they're doing things right. So I don't think it affects, I don't have the longevity. I'm constantly cashing out and I'm starting over. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, we've got a guest in the chat room. He wants to know, can't the sources be traced?
With the accounts?
Yeah.
You're cutting out, Brian. I can barely hear you.
Oh, crap. Looks like we might be having some. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Okay. They can't be traced. Well, what happens is these bots can only be traced through, like, basically observation. These security teams or other players observing shady play, and then they start digging into the their ROI percentages. They start digging into how many hands they're playing versus folding. Is there like a consistency in their play? And they just get banned that way. Like, it's really hard to trace these accounts. And yeah, you could probably trace them back to IP addresses, but dude, you can scramble IP addresses. You know, these guys that make these bots, they know what they're doing, you know? So, but the late registration, that's just a loophole. You don't even have to be smart. You don't even have to have bots to do the late registration loophole. You just get together with four or five guys and be like, hey guys, hit register right now. Boom. Everybody hits register. They're at the table at the same all together. And then, you know, it's four or five of them. And then they got the other four suckers at the table with them. And it's literally that easy. And America's Guard Room has literally done nothing to fix that.
Yeah.
So that's a huge problem. So no, you can't trace them really, because what are you looking? You can't, you never know. These bots have their own screen name. They have their own email address. They have their own contact information. They have their own IP address. So you just got to track them through play. And if they're doing shady shit, or if they're literally playing like a fucking robot, and then you get people complaining and saying, hey, check into this. And then that's how they look. And they basically ban them from there. But there's thousands of bots, and they've only banned like 15 accounts linked to a bot. You know, so it's like, it's shady. It's hard. It's hard. It's really hard to catch them. And that's one of the things that, I don't know if you'll ever be able to catch them. And on the flip side, as far as, say ACR is in on it, I'm not saying they are, I am not slandering their company. This is all open shark scope, all these stats that I've thrown out there. I'm not saying that they're cheating. But if they were to cheat, there's no way to really know. You offshore company that basically launders money through these fucking shell companies to be able to get your money on there, and when you get your checks, it's from like some bogus companies if you do it by check. Yeah, dude, like you're hoping that people that do that are good enough people to not fucking have their own super accounts. But they gotta try and make their money. And when they're, like I said, like each, it seems like each Sunday Million has not hit the million marks. They're losing 180K per tournament. It may not seem like a lot because they make a shit ton in rake, millions in rake, but it's still, you know, they don't want to take that hit over time. And each tournament that doesn't, you know, hit its guarantee, that's, you know, that's some serious shit. So I would say that it makes sense for them to want to do that. Over time, they're going to have to try and make that money somewhere. So, yeah. Let me put it this way. I would not be surprised if I ever hear that ACR anywhere, or any other of these online offshore companies are doing some shady shit. Mm-hmm. So that's my point. And they're letting these bots stay on because you know what these bots are doing? They're because they don't have enough players to fill these fucking guarantees. So they're letting these bots in because these bots are paying their entry fees through their accounts. You know what I mean? So they're paying the $265 to get into the Sunday Million, and that's what they need. They don't care. So if they got 100 bots in the tournament, so fucking be it. You know, they got 100 bots. That's $22,000. So, you know, it's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, they're trying to make it up. So yeah, that's basically it. That's all the info I got. His name is Joe Ingram. He's on Facebook or he's on YouTube. We'll post the links and you guys can click on it. And then just like, you know, he'll explain it way better than I can. His math's better than mine. And yeah, it's interesting, man. It's an interesting topic for anybody, not even just poker players.
Mm-hmm.
So. Could potentially be one of the bigger scandals you'll ever see if it's ever proven. So So, yeah, man, that's what I got for you.
Okay. Well, I think that's a good way to close out the show, have people look into some online poker scandals. I'm digging it. So, I guess. All right, man.
Yeah, that should start to get choppy on us. So.
Okay. Yeah, seems like a good way to close out the episode then. You sound okay.
Yeah.
So I say that's a good way to close out the episode then if we're starting to cut out.
Yeah, I think so too. But yeah, that's interesting, man. We'll post the topics for you guys.
Yep.
Do you got any hems, gems?
No gems this time. I haven't had a chance to really look into any good stuff this week. So.
Yeah, don't worry about it. But yeah, so check us out at bellyupsports.com, at bellyupsports on Twitter, and bellyupsports Facebook page. And don't forget to check out Ad Odds Facebook page. And we're on obviously the Blog Talk that we're on now. We're going to be on YouTube and SoundCloud and iTunes. So check us out on those. And that's pretty much all I got.
Okie doke.
All right, man. See you guys on Monday.
Yeah. Let's enjoy some fucking Mega Man, bitch.
All right.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.